name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we have one of the most chilling stories in Scripture. Not because of the demons. There's lots of stories about demons. Not because of the swine running down the cliff. It's rather unique. But that's not what's frightening about this story. What's frightening about the story is how men, who even do not have demons, because most of the townspeople were not possessed by demons. They were influenced by them, but they were not possessed by them. Could reject the God-man Jesus Christ so easily. When Christ came to this region, there was this man who was possessed by demons, so many that they wouldn't even give their name. It would take too long. They called themselves Legion. And these demons gave him super strength so that he broke things. He broke the chains. And these people were afraid of this man. He was one of their own. And he was no doubt, given the reaction of the townspeople, possessed in part because of the evil of his people. Because when there is evil among people, demons congregate. And so he perhaps bore the brunt of their evil more than any one of his townspeople. And Christ came and healed him. And we know, of course, that the demons got into the swine, and the swine were drowned in the sea, showing how terrible demon possession can be. But the real story here is what happened after the man was healed. And here he is in his right mind, clothed by Jesus, learning from him. And the swineherders are afraid. And so they run to their masters to tell them about this. Now, that in itself is not so terrible. After all, there were very holy ones who ran from the sepulchre afraid, right? It's not the initial fear that they should be judged by. It is later on, when it was explained exactly what happened, that the townspeople continued to be afraid and asked God to leave. And they asked him to leave because they didn't want him to interfere with their life. There are many kinds of fear in life. The only fear that is salvific is the fear of God. These people didn't have the fear of God. They had the fear that their way of life would be interfered with. They had the fear that their sins would be exposed, and they didn't want them exposed. So it was quite easy for them to decide, please leave us. And the Lord did. And the next day, the sun came up, and they picked up the pieces, and eventually, I'm sure, got more swine and went on with their lives. And the light had been among them, and then there was darkness. And they didn't know either one. They didn't know light, nor did they know darkness. Because people who live in darkness don't know that they're in darkness. This is a terrible thing. And as I told you many times before, we must personalize the Scripture. We must look into our lives and think, is there any way in which we are like these people? I think if we're honest, we would say yes. Oh yes, we have absolutely accepted the gospel. We believe that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. We might even believe to a great extent that we are among the chief. But there is so much in our life that is in darkness, of which we are not quite completely aware. There are many sins that you and I commit that we don't even know we commit. Now, we see this in the maturing process, right? When you get older, you recognize, wow, you know, I really was kind of immature when I was 17, and I shouldn't have talked like that to my parents. You know that later when you're 30, but you didn't know it when you were 17. But there are things now that you're doing that you don't know. And God wants to illuminate you. And the illumination comes from our prayer, from our fasting, from our struggle, from hearing the services and praying in them to the best of our abilities. Good or bad, if we make an effort, God will help us. All these things, and many more besides, will illuminate us and teach us about what's wrong with us. We live in an age where it is The only wrong thing to say is that there's something wrong with somebody. Well, let's not succumb to that little bit of political correctness and indulgence of sin. There are things wrong with us. Let's be the first to say it, so somebody else doesn't have to say it to us. There's something wrong with us. We don't know everything that's wrong. But the Lord will illuminate us if we seek Him out. Now, I always, almost always, compare this occurrence with the Samaritan woman, St. Fontenay, Svetlana, equal to the apostles. Because her sins were exposed, just like the townspeople's sins were exposed. Of course, recall that these townspeople were Jews. They weren't very good Jews because they were raising pork, which was forbidden, because it was an unclean animal. So their sins were exposed by the death of the demons and of the swine. And St. Fontenay, the woman at the well, had Jesus basically tell her whole life, say that she'd had five husbands and the one she was living with was not her husband. And He told her much more besides. The Scripture says that, but the conversation is just a vignette. They actually spoke for quite some time. And so her sins were exposed by a stranger, not only by a stranger, but by a Jewish stranger. And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, and the Samaritans had a great ethnic jealousy and hatred towards the Jews, and the feeling was mutual. In the case of the Jews, it was that they considered the Samaritans to be little better than dogs. And the Samaritans were angry about that. And she listened to this stranger, this Jew, speaking to her, telling her all of her sins. And how did she react? She dropped her water pot, which is a very significant detail, because she had gone to get water, but He had told her about living water. She didn't need to get her water anymore. Of course, she would need to drink that day and the next and every other day because we need water. But the significance is that she was so amazed that this man was a prophet. She didn't yet quite understand that he was Messiah. She was close to understanding this. But even without the understanding he was Messiah, she ran to get the townspeople, many of which I'm sure hated her and gossiped about her. That's why she went to the well so late in the day. Nobody in their right mind goes to the well when it's 100 degrees outside. You go in the morning. She went in the afternoon to avoid those people. But then, after the Lord had exposed her sin, she ran towards those people. And she told them, "Come see a man that has told me everything I did in my life." And the people came, and they listened to the Lord. And He taught them, and they begged Him to stay. And I think he stayed for 2 days. And then there were those who believed in the Lord in Samaria. Compare this with the townspeople of the Gergesenes. Both had their sins exposed. One had the fear of God. The other had the fear of being exposed, of having to change. This is very important for us to see and for us to beg the Lord that if there is anything in us that does not want to be exposed, for Him to expose it in His wisdom, in His time, according to our ability to apprehend and accept. The Lord won't expose everything that's wrong with you at once. If He did, there would be great despair or anger, and we would lose our way. Instead, He exposes things about us a little bit at a time, but at the same time He does that, He exposes to us His grace. He shows us Himself. And we learn of Him. We cannot learn of Him without repudiating that which is in ourselves that is not of Him. It's not possible. Our world wants to speak of Him and accept any conduct as okay. The Scriptures are clear about right and wrong, about the commandments. And so we should be too. Not just the letter of the commandments, whether or not we commit murder or adultery or theft, but what is in our hearts. The Lord knows what's in our hearts. Let us beg Him that He will expose to us what's in our hearts as we are able to accept it according to His divine plan, and that we would have the humility to repent of those things that are blocking our vision of Him. Let us not be like these people of the Gergesenes. Let us take their conduct as a warning. And let's notice one other thing. Fire and brimstone didn't fall down and destroy the Gergesenes. The next day, everything was just back to normal. That's the way it is with sin, for the most part. We don't see its effects. It's as if there is some sort of poison in the ground and in the plants that is slowly poisoning us to death. But we don't notice it until we have the symptoms of the disease later on in life. That's what happens with sin. It is a slow death. A slow death because, of course, we are only fully dead when we leave this life if we have not committed ourselves to God and to the commandments. So may God deliver us from such an impenitent spirit. And may God give us humility to be willing to see that which is in ourselves that is dark and black and cold, and to repent of it so that we can see Him completely, as St. Paul did. And God bless you.